You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Ariel, listen to me. The human world, it's a mess. Life under the sea is better than anything they got up there. The seaweed is always greener in somebody else's lake. You dream about going up there, but that is a big mistake. Just look at the world around you, right here on the ocean floor. Such wonderful things around you. What more are you looking for? Under the sea.
Thank you for joining me on our undersea exploration.
Down where it's wet and take
come on,
it from
right?
I'm on the shore, they work all day. Out in the sun, they slave away.
I can't see a thing under here. But that's okay, because we're under the sea. And I can't breathe either, because I've got this thing on my face. And let me make my way up to the top here. As I was like, whoa, just kidding. I can swim. I can't see. That's my problem. There we go. Well, thank you for joining me on this undersea exploration. And, what's that? What's that right there? I see something. Do you see it? Oh, it's a marine leech. Have you ever seen a marine leech before in the wild? Yeah, ew. And it looks kind of big right there, but that's because we're so close to it. They're actually only this big. But marine leeches are like every kind of leech, but they're saltwater, and they attach to their an animal, a fish, and then they use their teeth to bite into it and suck its blood and drain it of nutrients. And that's called a parasite. A parasite. So you want to watch out for marine leeches because they're dangerous. You also want to watch out for me because I'm a little dangerous too. I might fall over. Oh, wait, what's that over there? Oh, I see something. What is that? Oh, look. Look at those remoras attached to that shark. Look at them. Wow, that's a great white shark. That's big, but it's okay. I know how to take sharks out. I can punch them in the nose. And don't worry, because we'll be safe in here. But if you look, there's remoras that are attached to that shark, and they attach themselves to fish, to sharks oftentimes. And the way they work is they actually have a special dorsal fin that allows them to latch on and take a free ride with the shark. And while they're on this shark, they're actually eating. And they're taking advantage of the shark and the parasites that are on the shark and the different bacteria and the extra food. And they actually eat that. And at the same time, they're helping the shark because the parasites and the bacteria and the dangerous things there are being eaten by these remoras. And so they are not a parasite. They're actually called a symbiote. They're a symbiotic relationship where the two of them work together. And it's actually called mutualism, which means that they are both helping each other. And so those are the things that we are able to see. We don't have time for any more undersea exploration. And honestly, I can't see a thing. So why don't you just join me and we'll work our way to the surface? Yeah, all right. That's stuck to my head. Woo! Well, hey, if you're a guest here at MC3, I am this weird often. I bet you have like a face ring. That's okay. Just deal. But I wanna talk to you about those two animals. Those two, I guess you call them. And those are fish. I guess they are. Or maybe they're just considered something. I don't know what they are. but you've got the marine leech, and the way a marine leech works is it latches on. And uses its teeth, and it sucks the blood. It draws out nutrients, and it ultimately, if it's not removed, it kills its host. It takes the nutrients and the ingredients from its host and kills it. And then you've got the remora, which latches on as well, and it is eating, but it's actually helping its host. And there's actually even videos of remoras going to the into a shark's mouth. A shark will open its mouth and allow them to eat the meat from between their teeth without eating the remora. And so the two of them work together. They latch on, but they're as I said, mutually symbiotic. They're on the same side, and they work together. And so here we are. We're at the end of the first month of this series, brothers and sisters. And we've been talking about what makes the church, and specifically what makes MC3 the church, and makes us brothers and sisters. How we're not just people gathering on a Sunday morning, but we are actually a family. And you saw those videos. And by the way, they're posted each week on Facebook, and you can actually read them on Facebook. They're a little bit more visible that way. But there's this idea of how we're brothers and sisters. And we've been looking at different things each week. And ultimately, this main theme for the whole series is that I've got your back, and you've got my back. We're together. We're one family. We're in this together. And so today I want to talk about this idea, another thing about what brothers and sisters do, and that is that brothers and sisters push each other on. They push each other on, and the title for this week was called One More, because sometimes you need like that personal trainer, you need that person to say, no, you can do this. No, keep going. Come on, just one more, one more. You can handle this, and we push each other on, we help. And move forward and say, I'm going to help you become a better person. I'm going to help you become a more complete follower of Jesus. And you're going to see how that ties in and this idea of the leech and the remora. And just to kind of set you up now, the question is, which one are you? Are you a leech that takes and takes and takes but never gives? Or are you a remora that takes and takes and takes and gives and gives and gives? And so that's the question as we talk about this idea of pushing each other on. Are you someone that just sits back and takes it? Or are you someone that actually helps your brothers and sisters become more complete followers of Jesus, to become better people? Do you push them on? And so we're going to look at a passage in Philippians 4, and actually it's really long, so we're not going to read it first. I'm going to break it down together. So Philippians chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 1. So if you have your paper Bible, the lights are on, you can turn to YouVersion, to Ephesians. It's in the New Testament. If you have the YouVersion Bible app on your phone, free to download, tap on Ephesians. It's like the seventh, something like that, verse in the or book in the New Testament. And we'll be on chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. And I want to talk about the power of symbiosis. And the idea of what does it mean when we are able to push each other on? And there's an each other there, right? It's not just I push you. It's you push me. Together, we work together. Together, you help me and I help you. Together, you push me on and I push you on to greater things. And so I want to talk about this. And that's what Paul writes about here in this. Sorry, this is like messing up all my beard hair. It's all like up my nose. But Paul writes this letter to the church at Ephesus that he planted, and he's actually in prison, as you'll see in a moment here. He's been imprisoned, and he's writing this letter back to them and kind of encouraging them and warning them and telling them some things that they need to do to improve as a church, as this local church. And the first thing that he says here is that they need to live worthy. Live worthy. And now, grammatically, it might be live worthily. Honestly, I went back and forth. Do you live worthily? But that's like really blah, 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 blah. So I like live worthy. And it'll work, okay? So he says to live worthy. And how do we do that? By being one. And again, the one theme, even in the logo, in everything we've been talking about with this series, we are one. We are connected. We are brothers and sisters. We are one family. We are not individual people. And we, as MC3, are not just one church. We are part of the entire church of all the followers of Jesus throughout history, throughout the world, that are meeting all over this county, all over this country right now. They're not meeting all over the world right now because a lot of them are asleep because there's a time zone thing. But we are all one. And Paul says, look, if we want to live worthy, we need to be one. And so that's what he says here in verses 1 through 6. He says, therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, as we said, he's a prisoner, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. To lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. He's saying, look, if you're a follower of Jesus, you have been called by God. Like, that's not an accident. God says, you, I want you, you're mine, you're one of my children, I died for you, I love you. And he says, if you're one of those people, then live up to it. Live worthily, live worthy of your calling, live that life that is worthy of it. That is something that is worth it. That's what it means to live worthy. Like, make all that Jesus has done for you, make it worth it. And he says, okay, so how do you do that? He says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. So he kind of has these ideas. What does it look like to live worthy, to live lives worthy of what God has done for you, what Jesus has done for you? He says, be humble and gentle. What does humility and gentleness mean? Humility and gentleness means, you know what, it's not about me. And if it's not about you, that means it's about other people that are around you. So it's about others. He says, be patient with each other. What does that mean? That means when there are other people that do things and that get on your nerves, you're just going to be patient. Because it's not about you, it's about them. It's about being connected. Making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. So sometimes people are going to do things that really bother you. Sometimes they're going to say things that just, man, they're just mean and they're cruel. And sometimes those people are going to be your brothers and sisters. And sometimes those people are going to be me. Because we are all, as followers of Jesus, we're still sinners. We're still stuck in our sin until we are one day with Jesus in eternity. And because of that, we're going to sometimes do things that are sinful. Sinners do sinful things. And sometimes I'm going to let you down. And sometimes you're going to let me down. And sometimes you're going to let down the people around you, and they're going to let you down. And Paul says, look, if we're going to live worthy lives, we need to make allowance for that and be like, you know what? You're my brother. You're my sister. It's not okay. Like, it's wrong. But we're not going to leave it alone. We're going to make it work. We're going to fix it. We're going to mend the relationship. We're going to make allowances. We're going to be patient with each other. We're going to be humble and gentle. Instead of being about me, it's going to be about you. And then, so that all those individual statements, he says, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. So Paul's making a pretty emphatic statement here that as followers of Jesus, you need to live lives that are worthy of it. And what does that look like? That looks like being one, being brothers and sisters. And like I said, I've said throughout this series, like, there are some things in here that, yeah, we're going to need some reminders. Maybe there's some things through this series are going to be like, yeah, I really need to change that. But there's a lot in this series that is a, wow, MC3, well done. Good job. Like, this is what we've been called to do, and let's keep it up. And so Paul says, look, if we're going to live worthy lives, we need to be one. We need to get each other's backs. We need to, I mean, that booth, you guys are tearing it up, and I want you to keep doing that. Because we've got each other's backs. And if you have a hard time saying when somebody helped you out, like, probably not looking. Or maybe you haven't been helping other people out. Like, there's something about this being united, being one. And then he says, kind of a side note, he says, look, we are one body. As the church, we're one body. Even though we're all different people and we have different backgrounds and different hairstyles or different lack of hair, some of us are smaller, some of us are taller. We are all one body. And there's one body and one Spirit. Just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. So Paul is saying, look, there's nothing about God that is broken into parts and pieces and individual things. We are one. And in your prime groups this past week, you looked at the verse where Paul says, you know, not to grieve the Holy Spirit because we grumble and complain against each other. Well, why did that work? When we grieve the Holy Spirit, when He, the one that brings us together, when we start pulling each other apart, He's like, no, I put you together. This hurts me when you start pulling each other apart. He says, there's one God, and there's one body. And if we are going to live lives that are worthy of what Jesus has done for us, then we're going to do everything we can to become united, to be one, to be brothers and sisters. So, that's the first thing. Is that we are going to do this for one another. We're going to live worthy. We're going to be together for each other. And so when you make allowances for my faults and I make allowances for your faults, suddenly we have a symbiotic relationship. Suddenly we have a mutually symbiotic relationship because you making allowance for my faults helps me become a better person. It helps me learn to be humble and to be gracious and to accept forgiveness. And me making allowance for your faults allows me to be humble and gracious and allow you to forgive. And like just all of these things work together. And so we become a symbiotic relationship. So Paul says to live worthy by being one. And then he says, serve well. Serve well by using your gifts. And so if we are to live worthy, we need to be one. And how does that work then? So that's what it looks like. How does it work? And Paul says, by using your gifts. We need to serve. You need to serve. I need to serve you. You need to serve me. You need to serve the person next to you. And they need to serve the person in front of you. And you need to serve each other. Because we are one body. We are together. We are one family. We are brothers and sisters. And so he goes on then in verses 7 to 13. And he says, however, he said there's one body, one spirit. God is not divided. You shouldn't be divided either. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of the Spirit. Is that me? He has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of the Spirit. The word here for gift is charis. It's grace. It means grace. We have been given an undeserved gift by Jesus through his generosity. And he says that's why, and he kind of breaks off to this little like a side note. It's so weird. Like Paul, he starts to talk and he's like, I'm going to teach a point. I'm going to say something. And then all of a sudden he gets sidetracked and starts sharing something else over here. And he's like, oh wait, what was I talking about? Not that I'm anything like Paul, but I get it, Paul. I get it, man. Sometimes you're telling a story and suddenly you have to tell another story to get to that story. And let me just like, I know sometimes you guys, some of you are like, I need to call Sean. I need to talk to him about something. Dang, it's going to take a long time. Because he just tells stories and he goes to another story and like he just won't shut up. So sorry, I apologize. Thank you for making allowances for my faults. but I get it, Paul. I get it. Sometimes you go off topic. So he says, each of us has been given a special gift through the generosity of Christ. And then it's kind of off topic, or I guess related to topic. He said, that's why the scriptures say when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Paul's basically saying, yeah, Jesus has given us all gifts. Remember, he came to this earth, he lived, he died, he rose again, and now he is above everything because of his resurrection. Oh, by the way, what was I talking about? Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. And by the way, please don't let me imply, I don't want to imply that anything in the Bible is not useful, is not worthy, or anything like that. It's just, that's where Paul's train of thought is. But the fact that he shares that is important. So I don't want you to be like, it doesn't matter, we'll throw that part out. So anyway, he says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. He kind of lists some categories of different gifts that each person has been given a gift. It says that up at the beginning of the verse. Yeah, what verse are we on there? On verse 7. Is there another mic on somewhere? Okay. It says these are the gifts, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. What is the purpose of the gifts? And I'm not going to get into all those gifts right now. We actually did a whole series called Gifts. It's a good name for a series on gifts. A couple years ago at Christmas time, actually. And I think that's the box. I can have a light in front of me, but there's a package up there. You can go to mc3church.org, and you can listen to that. It's 3 weeks on spiritual gifts and looking at the different elements and what they are and how they work. But the point here is that we all have a gift. We have at least one gift that is a special gift, a spiritual gift, a unique gift that has been given to us by God. And he goes on and says the responsibility is to equip God's people, meaning the body of Christ, meaning the church, meaning your brothers and sisters, to do His work and build up the church. So we have been given gifts by God, and we are to use these gifts to push each other on. We are to use these gifts to make you grow, and you're supposed to use your gifts to make me grow and to make each other grow. And the person next to you needs to grow, and you're going to use your gifts so that they can grow, and they're going to use their gifts so that you can grow. We are meant to do that together because we have a symbiotic relationship. And if we don't do that, we are now leeches. If you don't do that, you're a leech. If you're not using your gifts to serve in the church, the gift that Christ gave you, to build up His body, then you're not in a symbiotic relationship. You're just sucking and sucking and sucking and not giving anything. So he says that's what the goal is. The responsibility, or what the purpose is. The responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. He says we're using this to build each other up, so that we can become more like Jesus. And when you fail to use the gifts that God has given you, I suffer. When you fail to use the gifts that God has given you, the person next to you suffers. Because they are meant to come together to build up this one body, so that we can become more like Jesus. And so when you just sit and suck, well, you suck. Because that's not what we were designed for. We were designed to build each other up. Which then leads to the last thing that Paul says here. So that if we live worthy, the way Christ has called us, serving well by using our gifts, then that will lead to us being healthy. Then we will be healthy. And let me say this, and we're going to talk more about using our gifts and serving and getting involved in ministry. But statistically, MC3 is off the charts with how many of you are serving. Like most churches, maybe you've heard of the 80-20 rule, that 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people in your average church in the United States. I don't know what our percentages are, but I know that many of you, most of you, are serving here at MC3. So again, that's a good job, because that's what we are designed to do. And by living worthy lives, by being one, by using our gifts, serving well, we will become healthy because we will become like Jesus. And that's what he wraps up the passage with. He says, then we will no longer be immature like children. Some of your translation, it might say, then we will no longer be infants. And the Greek word here, because Paul wrote this in Greek, that's the language that everyone spoke. The Greek word for immature like children, it literally means no words. Because there were people that couldn't even use words yet. And he says, we're not going to be immature. He says, it's time to stop being babies. You need to grow up. And Paul, there's a whole bunch of times Paul talks about this throughout the New Testament. About growing up, maturing. Like it's time not to just drink milk, but to eat solid food. Grow up. He says, if we are using our gifts, if you are using your gifts, we are all going to be healthy. We're going to be growing up into healthy adults. Healthy, mature people. And in doing that, he says, we won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. And this is so important. Like, everything, and we'll see in just a moment, but everything in our culture, and even, the fact that we have such instant, right now, access to anybody's opinion, and they're all weighted evenly, because you just have to search it. And maybe, if they pay Google money, their results are going to even be higher. And so there once upon a time, you kind of had to have a standard for what is truth, what's right, what's wrong, what makes sense, what doesn't. And now, you could search, tell me about leeches. And if I decided to, spend $20 for Google to up my results on my webpage, I could say leeches are this giant furry animal that has a long trunk and an alligator skin on its back, and it has wings. And if that came up in your search result, you're like, well, it's on the internet. It must be true. And then you walk away thinking that's what a leech is. And yet, so you understand, we're in a, and that doesn't make it bad. There's crowds, there's also, all sorts of amazing things we can do with technology. I'm just saying it's all instant and all equal. And so it is easy for us as followers of Jesus who have one standard, and I'm not talking about my tablet, I'm talking about the YouVersion app, the Bible. We have one standard, the Word of God, that guides and directs us. And if you are using your gifts, you're going to help me grow up. And you're going to help the people around you grow up to understand what the truth of Scripture really is, rather than, oh, I read it on the internet. Rather than, there was this blog post that someone posted on Facebook. Rather than, Dr. Phil said it should be this way. Oh, there's this whole special on the Oprah Network. Like, it allows us to have some grounding and some focus when we are using our gifts. And we won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. And when I read that phrase, I always think about, like, have you ever watched an undisclosed retailer bag? You know, Walmart. A Walmart bag, like, just caught in the wind. Like, they just kind of go everywhere. Like, if there's a breeze and there's a Walmart bag, they're just kind of going everywhere. And that's what Paul's saying. Like, if we don't use our gifts, if you don't serve, if you don't be a part of this, this symbiotic relationship doesn't work. And then we kind of get blown about by whatever. Well, that sounds good, so I'm going to go with that for now. Oh, that made me feel good, so I'm going to follow that right now. And Paul says, no. We need to use our gifts so that we can be healthy. You need to use your gifts so that we can be healthy. If there's someone near you and you're like, man, they're really not where they need to be with Jesus, if you're not using your gifts, it's partially your fault. And then he goes on and says, we will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. So now we're not just talking about, well, there's all these random teachings out there, but there are actually people going, you know what? I think if I can make this sound important, I can get people to think my way. And a lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times there's money motivated behind that or politics motivated behind that. Like, it's easy for us to be like, oh, let me get people thinking this way. Because if they start thinking this way, then they'll start paying for this thing. Or if they start thinking this way, they will start voting this way. And it's easy. There's this idea, there's this concept of saying, let's be intentional about tricking people. And that's what the word means. There's actually a Greek word that kind of covers that whole phrase of teach us, trick us with lies. Trick us with lies so clever. The word means literally to follow an evil plan. Excellent. Like, there's that idea, like, there is a world out there, and sometimes, like, nobody knows because there's, like, I read it on the internet, whatever. But then there's actually some people are like, you know what, I'm going to try to trick you. I want to lead you down this path. And maybe it's a relationship thing. Maybe it's like, ooh, I want you to get you to feel this way so that you will get into a relationship with me. And there's all this stuff out there. And Paul says, look, we need to use our gifts, because when we use our gifts, we're not going to get blown about by everything that comes alongside, and we're not going to be influenced when people try to trick us, because we're going to say, you know what, that's not what the Bible says. And let me be honest, it's easy in here to be like, oh, well, I read this, I saw this video once, my friend told me, and we go alongside someone and say, hey, this is what I read. And if we are growing together, if we are mature, we can be like, no, actually, that's not what the Bible says. That's not accurate. That's not appropriate, whatever the situation may be. And then he says, so instead, we will speak the truth in love. And speaking the truth in love, we talked about that. I think it was our relationship series. And we're going to talk a little bit more about it in the next couple of weeks. But speaking the truth in love says, I'm going to say what's true, and I'm going to do it in a way that loves you. And sometimes, we talked about this just a few weeks ago in this series, sometimes saying the truth hurts, but it's the loving thing to do. It doesn't mean we say the truth in a hurtful way, but sometimes we need to say things that are hard to hear because it's more important for your growth. And so we do this in love. And when we do this, we are growing in every way, more and more and more and more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Like, that's what it's all about. It's not about becoming a more well-rounded person, a nice individual, a great athlete, a good student, a great employee. Like, those are all good, and they should be the results of becoming more like Jesus, because that's the goal. And all those other things come out from that when we serve. It says He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. So we have all these different gifts. They're all unique, and your gifts are not the same as the person next to you. Well, they might be depending on what gift it is, but we are all, we have different stories and backgrounds and histories that God uses within that gift to bring us together. He says, I'm using all these things to bring them together into one. Right upstairs in base six, Kara is doing a game with your kids in Ignition, and they have eggs on the floor. And every child, every kid, every student, I don't know what you want to call them, every person between kindergarten and fifth grade, each of them are allowed to use one body part to help move that floor. I'm pretty sure she's explaining what one body part it should be. But like maybe someone can use their finger, one of them can use their elbow, one of them can only use their nose, and it's going to be unsuccessful. But when you're able to use their whole body working together, they're going to be able to move the egg from one end of the room to the other. And that's the whole point. We're going to fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. That is a biblical definition of mutual symbiosis. When every part does its work, the whole thing grows. The whole part, every part grows. So that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And that's what it's all about. It's about being more like Jesus. It's about you using your gifts so that I can become more like Jesus. It's about me using my gifts so that you can become more like Jesus. It's about you using your gifts so that your husband can become more like Jesus. It's about you using your gifts so that your wife can become more like Jesus. It's about you using your gifts so that your mom can become more like Jesus. It's about you using your gifts so that your dad can become more like Jesus. It's about you using your gifts so that your kids can become more like Jesus. So we can become more like Jesus. We use it together. As we all work together, we grow up and we become healthy. And again, oh, guys, the stories of what God has done, just honestly, just in the last month. Like, I am psyched about our elders meeting, because in our elders meeting, we share our God moments, as many of you do in your prime groups. Where have you seen God do? All of you should be doing in your prime groups. What have you seen God do over the last week? What has He been doing? And the stories are literally unbelievable. And the crazy thing is, for us at MC3, we're like, yeah, of course God does that. I've seen Him move the mountains. I believe He can do it again. That's a good song. Someone should write that. That idea, like, it's become almost commonplace. And let me just say, not I don't mean this in a mean or disrespectful way, but talk to someone else that's involved in church and start sharing the stories of what you have seen God do at MC3, and their jaws are going to drop, because this seems so unusual, and yet it's what God has called us to be. And we are growing together, and we're healthy, and that's happening here because we are serving. So good job. Way to be a remora. Way to use your gifts so that you can serve. And way to, you know, obviously if I'm using my gifts, if you're using your gifts, someone has to be receiving it. You get that? So when we serve, someone else is actually at that moment kind of taking. But then they turn around and they serve so that someone else can take it. Versus a leech that just takes and takes and takes and takes. And ultimately a leech kills its host. And if you are a follower of Jesus, and you are not serving, I know I'm beating this horse, but it's kind of like, hey, if you are a follower of Jesus, and if you are not serving, then you are going to kill your host. So, the power of symbiosis is that we live worthy, we serve well, and then we become healthy. We be healthy. My grammar's all messed up. Live worthy, serve well, be healthy. There, that works. But that's what we are called to be. That's what God has created us to be. That's what brothers and sisters do. We've got each other's backs. We are one. When I have a need, whether that's a physical, tangible need or a spiritual need or an emotional need, often one of you will be able to meet that need. And you helped me to grow. Last week, Mr. Van Stiot came and hung out in my office. And I haven't told him this personally yet. But it was so meaningful to me. We just sat and talked. No agenda. No real purpose. That's Brian. But it was just beautiful being like, yeah. I mean, just being reminded of some things. I mean, Brian and I go way, way, way back. I married Brian. Like, I was the one that did their wedding. He was my first wedding. He and Emily there. So, anyway. But how many years was that? 15. Good answer right away. 15 years ago. Wow. So, but anyway, it was just beautiful because, like, I don't know if he even realized this, but it was so meaningful to me because I was just kind of in a low spot, kind of emotionally and spiritually, and he was just super encouraging. He didn't even say, like, hey, Sean, stiff upper lip and all, what that, what, not. No, like, it was just, just little, my little British stiff upper lip, you know, press on. Anyway, yeah, Brian is British. Anyway, but that's what we do. When we're together, we help each other. And actually, when we're together, we push each other on. We push each other on to become more like Jesus, to become more like Jesus, to become more like Jesus, because brothers and sisters push each other on. That's what we are supposed to do. That's what it means to be the body of Christ. That's what it means to be the church. So the writer of Hebrews actually wrote this idea in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. You don't need to turn there. It's on the screen here. But the writer of Hebrews says, let us consider, let us process, ponder, think about, consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. So the writer of Hebrews says, let's just take a moment. You're going to have a chance in your prime groups to really get into this week. In your discussion guides there, it says, let us consider, let's process. How can we spur one another on? How can I make you more like Jesus? How can we make each other more like Jesus? What does that look like? How can we spur one another on? How can we push each other on? And that idea kind of comes back to what Paul was saying. How do we do that? By using the gifts that Jesus has given to us for the sake of building his body, for the sake of building up the church, so that as brothers and sisters, we become one. So, as I said, the question is, are you a leech or a remora? A leech or a remora? And you can look this up more if you want to find out more about leeches and remora. You can probably find some internet site that will tell you something about it. But this idea, are you one that just takes? Or do you take and give? And please don't miss that. Symbiosis, mutual symbiosis, means that there are times when I am taking, and we need to. Sometimes you need to take. Sometimes some of you need to back up and let someone else serve you. I remember when I was in college, one of the professors at school, and I think maybe I shared this with you before, but we were in this singing group, and we toured the East Coast, and it was this thing. And there was equipment. We had a trailer of equipment, and I'm, you know, here trying to, like, grab two monitors, and I've got the subwoofer balanced on the back of my leg. And you know, Karen, and he came up to me and said, let me help you. I was like, no, I've got it. And he said, Sean, put those down right now. I'm like, oh, this guy, he never gets stern or angry. Like, what's going on? And he said, allow me to serve you. Because if you don't, then I don't get the joy out of it. And that just has stuck with me forever. Sometimes when you allow people to serve us. And so I put some of them down, and he carried one, and we both helped each other. We both pushed each other on. So don't miss that idea. When we talk about this idea of serving, sometimes some of us just take and never give, but we do need to take and give. It's what makes us brothers and sisters. So, a couple of quick things. First of all, to determine if you're a leech or a remora, you need to use your gifts. Should be fairly obvious at this point, but you need to use your gifts. Not have them, but use them. I mean, think of, I don't know, I had a relative, I'll keep it vague. I had a relative when I was in middle school, and I still have the relative. She's still related to me. I mean, he or she is still related to me. Anyway, her gifts were just not what a middle school boy wants. Let's just put it that way. It involved puffy paint and making my own shirt and probably stared too much. So if my family's listening, sorry, I love you. But it was one of those things where it's like, not really what I want. And of course, the next time you see this person, it's like, hey, are you wearing your shirt? And you're like, of course I am. I always wear it. Because you don't want them to feel bad that you're not using the gift. You follow me here? And so we have been given gifts, and these are spectacular gifts. They don't involve puffy paint. They involve something amazing that grows the body of Christ together. And we are supposed to use them. not just be like, yeah, that's neat. No, no, use it. And that's what Romans 12, Paul writes to the church he planted in Rome. He says, in his grace, that same word, charis, gift, unearned gift, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So here's kind of another list. And there's multiple things. Again, the gift series, you can learn more about that. But here's some more of the gifts that have been given to this body of Christ. He says, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. And notice the highlighted words here. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, which means to speak out, to call out people for things. It doesn't mean just telling the future. That's a whole other discussion. We'll have that some other time. But if you've given the ability to prophesy, Paul says, speak out. If God has given you the ability to prophesy, if that's your gift, speak out. Use it with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, then serve them well. If that's your gift, then use it. If your gift... If you are a teacher, teach well. Use your gift. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness, do it gladly. Like, there's no, like, if this is your gift, oh, you get a bye. Oh, no, that one actually doesn't really matter. Just sit on it. Nobody really cares. Nobody needs you anyway. No. Paul's like, if this is your gift, use it. If that is your gift, use it. If you have been given a gift as a follower of Jesus, you have. Again, you can listen to the series, get a little bit more insight on that. But if you have been given a gift, which is a follower of Jesus, you have, then your job, your responsibility is to use it. So use your gifts. If you don't use your gifts, you're leaning towards the leech side of things. The second thing, use your gifts, and then you need to develop your gifts. And now we're kind of going to the next level here, because as you start to use your gifts, you learn what they are, and again, I don't have time to get into all of that, but when you start to understand, like, these are my gifts, it is our responsibility to get better at it. If you are playing on a team, or if you're just playing in any kind of a sport, your job is to get better at it. Like, if you're a really good hitter, learn to hit. If you're a really good punter, you want to get better at punting. And you know what they do? They practice. They do it over and over and over and over and over again. Michael Jordan, greatest basketball player ever. How many of you know Michael Jordan? Just not personally, but know of Michael Jordan? Okay, good. We're still generationally okay. All right. I could say another guy, but I really don't want to mention his name, who's probably a really good football player. But he plays for the Patriots. Anyway, then there's Eli Manning. Anyway, okay, so Peyton Manning is probably, I can say him too. Anyway, the point is, these people that are the best at their sports, they practice, they develop them, they get better and better, they improve. And God has given us these gifts, and our job is to be like, hey, this is my gift, let me get better at it, let me improve, let me work at it. I personally feel that one of my gifts is teaching. And I assure you that because this is my gift, it would be very easy for me to, like, you know what? Let's just read a Bible passage real quick, and I probably can knock it out of the park without any prep. And let me tell you, the hours and hours every week that go into presenting the truth of the Word of God, because this is too important for me not to develop it. I read books on how to communicate creatively. I read books on how to be a better speaker, how to stay on focus more, because I want to develop the gifts that God has given me and be better at it, and be even more effective. And so as a follower of Jesus, it is your responsibility to develop your gifts. Get better at it. Don't just sit on it and be like, yeah, I'm good. I got it. Practice. Work it. Make it happen. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 6, Paul writes this to Timothy, his young kind of apprentice. He says, this is why I remind you, fan into flames the spiritual gift that God gave you when I laid my hands on you. When you came to Jesus, you received a gift. And that's what he's talking about, the laying of hands on him. I want you now to take that gift and fan it into flames. Like, you've got this thing. Make it big. Make it work. Exercise it. Improve it. Work it out. Make it better. Develop it. And that's what we need to do too. And if you're not developing your gifts, you're probably more on the Leech side than the Remora side. And let me say this. We are a young congregation. We are a young body here. I mean, I'm one of the old guys, okay? And I feel that on the softball field. But we're more likely the next day, actually. But let me just say this to you guys, to us as the body of MC3 here. I have been involved in a number of the churches I've been involved in where I've seen people who are older, who often are retired from work, who often feel like they can retire from being a part of the body of Christ. I have heard phrases multiple times of, I put in my time, I did my thing. And let me just tell you now, while you're young and you're serving, it doesn't stop until you're with Jesus. There is no retirement age, and unfortunately that's an American thing that we've developed, you know, in the last 100 years, honestly. And it's okay to retire from work. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying, as a follower of Jesus, we are to always be developing, fanning into flames our gifts. If we ever get to a spot where, like, I did my time, someone else needs to step up, you are wrong. Because Jesus didn't say, oh, okay, you've got it for a little bit, and then I'm done with you. No, we have value, and that also sets value for everyone of every age. That people are valuable their entire lives. They contribute to the body of Christ, and it's our responsibility to do that. And Paul says, fan into flames, develop your gifts, use it, practice it, work it out. If you don't do that, you're leaning more towards a leech. Then the third thing, use your gifts, develop your gifts. And finally, honor God with your gifts. And it's kind of, I would assume, a statement that goes without saying, which I just said. But we are honoring God with our gifts, but do we ever realize that when you use your gifts to build us up, you are honoring Jesus who gave them to you, who said, this is my body and I've given you this gift because I want you to use it so that the body that I died for can grow. And so when we use our gifts, it's not just say like, hey, I'm glad to help you out, I got your back, and which is awesome, but it's kind of the next level. It's say, I'm honoring Jesus. I'm glorifying God by using my gifts. And no matter, and that's the other thing we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. The eye can't say, you know, that's my translation. You know, we can't look at any part of the body and say, oh, I don't need that part. We're all important. And that means that when you're using your gifts to honor, you honor God. And when I'm using my gifts, I honor God. And it's easy for us to be like, oh, well, that gift doesn't matter. And Paul's like, no, they all matter because they honor God. And that's what Peter actually writes here in 1 Peter 4. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. We've kind of heard that already this morning. Use them well. Use them well to serve one another. Use them well to serve one another. Mutual symbiosis. Working together. And not just sitting on them, but using them well. Again, repeating what we said. And then he goes, and here's his kind of list of some of the gifts. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. So Peter almost reiterates what Paul says. Use your gift well. If this is your gift, use it. If this is your gift, use it. He says, then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. Everything you do, if we are using our gifts, if you are using your gifts, then you are bringing glory to God through Jesus Christ. And then Peter kind of adds this little addendum, like, oh, who is Jesus? Oh, you know, the one, all glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. That Jesus. When we use our gifts, we honor God. And so it's not just a matter of like, oh, they don't need me, I don't care about them, they don't want me to use, whatever. No, you're dishonoring God when you sit, when you leech, when you don't use the gifts that God has given you. So, use your gifts, develop your gifts, honor God with your gifts, or you're just a leech. And so that's the question, that's the statement. Where are you? Are you a leech? Are you a remora? Are you pushing each other on, or are you just sitting back?
and taking it and is absorbing it and sucking. Because we're meant to do this together. Brothers and sisters push each other on. And we've talked about this chart the last few weeks, and we're going to keep talking about it. But the C3 process, and we looked at Acts chapter 2 and what makes the church, you know, what did the early church do and how can we model our church around that? And we said there's three C's: community, how we need to be in relationships together. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. Congregation, how we need to gather together and worship. We'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. And then we talked caring, the third C of how we need to serve one another and serve the people around us. And last week we talked about with the missions team about caring globally, how we can serve specifically at MC3 the people of Oaxaca, Trigo y Miel. And by the way, like we had hoped when we put those sponsored kid cards out there last week, we were hoping for like 5. And last count, there were 14 of you that took cards to sponsor kids. And that's incredible. Ford Edge is over the moon that we're able to help out the kids at Trigo that way. So today is kind of related to this idea of using your gifts, of caring. And caring for one another by serving. And so I just want to challenge you, if you are not serving, and again, if you're doing a whole bunch of things already at MC3, don't be like, oh, I need to do more. I'm just such a horrible person. Like, no, this isn't for you. This is for you to be like, thanks, Jesus. Thanks that I can honor you. But if you're here and you're not serving, let me just encourage you to find a way to get involved. There are so many opportunities here. There are opportunities right up in front of you. You see them. But there are opportunities back in the shadows back there. There are opportunities that aren't even in this building. They sit around a computer and they do things, editing and putting things together that way. There's people that love to work with loud and obnoxious and rambunctious kids. And then there's people that work in the nursery where they're all just quiet constantly. And then there's people that work with students. I was a youth pastor for 10 years. And people were like, how can you do that? I'm like, because I love students. I'm like, how can you work with toddlers? Ah! Because each of us have different gifts. We have different ways of serving. And there's so many opportunities. There's the first impressions team. You know, maybe you're just a smiley person and you can say, hey, good morning. Wow, that's a ministry. And we've had people that are like, you know, if it wasn't for someone meeting me at that door, I wouldn't have stayed. There's a whole lot of ways that people can get involved here at MC3. And so if you are not serving, if you are not pushing each other on, then you are a leech. And it's time to make the switch. It's time to make the switch and say, no, I'm gonna give and take. Because then we'll grow up together as the body of Christ. Then we're truly brothers and sisters that are pushing each other on. So, if you have any questions about how you can serve here, honestly, we might even invent something. If you're like, this is what I like to do. Oh, that's cool. We've been thinking about that. But you can talk to Michelle. Michelle, can you raise your hand there? She's the MC3 family coordinator. If you have any question or any thoughts about anything you could do with kids, we need technology people. We have an app, like the Pit Stop app, every week. We could use people to help with that. Anything related to MC3 family, if you're interested in anything related to music, the band, talk to Kendra. She was up here singing. If you have any questions, maybe there's an area you want to work behind the scenes in the media area, you can talk to me or John Vargas. Where did John go? Wherever John Vargas is. Talk to John. Students, where's Matt? Matt, if you're interested in helping with students, we are definitely looking for more people to help with the MC3 student crew of that team because we have 26 students, I think, right now. Like, wow. There was a time, like, you're like, 26, that's not very big. I've heard of youth ministries that have, like, 70 or 100 people. Like, what, 5 years ago, there was Ellie. Like, that's all we had. And she's now up serving, too. So it's just really cool what God's doing. So there's opportunities for you to serve. And so I encourage you, don't just sit back, but use your gifts. The gifts that God has given you to build up the body of Christ. Because brothers and sisters push each other on. And that's the point for this week. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you have done in us. That you didn't just create this thing, just die for this thing called the church and then leave. But you died and rose again and then gave us your Spirit. And your Spirit, God in us, has gifted us, has given us the ability to do things, not for ourselves, not to sit on, but to help this body, to help my brothers and sisters grow to be more like Jesus. And I pray that you would help us to do that. For those that are in here that are more on the leech side of things, God, I pray that you would challenge their hearts and give them an opportunity to express their gift. Help them to see where they can serve and how they can fit in here to help us all grow. And for those that are serving, God, I pray that you would allow them to just enjoy the moment, to be grateful that we get to honor you in that way. And God, if there is anyone in here also that has a hard time receiving service, has a hard time letting other people serve them, God, I pray that you would allow them to step back and let us be the body of Christ together and to serve each other, to give and to take, to be a mutually symbiotic relationship like the remora is. Thank you for everything you've done for us, Jesus, and for these wonderful brothers and sisters that I get to serve alongside of. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.